We believe that 99% of the problems in the workplace arise simply out of ignorance. And the opposite of ignorance is information.
How do we deal with statistics that say certain minorities commit more crimes?
How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes, so Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine.
All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. It's good to be back with you. It's Thursday today, right? We usually do this on Odin's Day, but shout out to my boy Thor over there. Hanging tight at the, towards the end of the week. You know, we name got to remember that. We name the majority of the days of the week after our beloved Asa through gods. Like, of course, we have Odin's Day, we have Thor's Day, and we have Freya's Day. Kind of my favorite part of the week as we're kind of transitioning into the weekend. Then Saturday, and it's Sabbath, and don't even get me started on that. All right. Anyway, good to see you all. Thank you for joining us here. Couldn't do it yesterday, so we had to do it today. So thank you for joining us live and for being flexible on our schedule. We appreciate you. Hope you're having a wonderful week so far. Don't forget, of course, to check out the latest show that we did up on redicemembers.com right now, the Weekend Warrior Show. Talked about the situation in the Netherlands, of course. Bunch of stuff, actually. Sri Lanka popping off there. And it's kind of continued, to be honest. We have a lot of chaotic situations unfolding globally, it feels like, right now. We have food shortages, we have riots, we have people turning against their government. Italy is popping off, right? They're trying to depose the, is it the prime, they have prime ministers, right? Not president, but I think he's a prime minister. Mario Draghi, and I saw clips of people out cheering in the streets. You have people in Libya, I believe. I have a clip on that later. Burning down their parliament. Crazy stuff. But anyway, we'll get into some of that. But yes, as the intro clips kind of suggested, right? We have this is now this right here. This is American politics 2022. Remind you of anything? I think we brought it up in the Weekend Warrior Show too, to be honest. But basically, we've come full circle. This is with all the shit that's happening with Hunter Biden's. What is it? Let's be technically correct here. The leaked iCloud content, right? Basically, you have a backup of your iPhone. Well, if you're dumb enough to have it on the iCloud, and apparently some of the 4chan posters that got in there. They managed to guess his password, I guess. So a lot of shit has been released. We haven't even covered like that in detail yet. I mean, it's super important. No, not really. This is the potato in chief. They rolled this out at the end. It's the Caligulas of our era, basically. They rolled these out as we're in decline. So someone did, before we get into details here, a little bit of a compilation. I thought, why not begin our show here today by looking at that to give you a little bit of a slice of kind of a sample of what actually was contained in this. Should I take that off the screen, maybe? In the disgusting archive here, stuff that he had on his iPhone. Now, I didn't add the music. I'm no big fan of this music. I should lower that a bit, in fact. But it is what it is. They added it on there, but just a little bit of an overview of the content that was on there. And sometimes it's cringe just to imagine if, Don Jr. or something like that. I mean, I he went on like a African safari or something and shot not a big fan of that, but whatever, that's what it did, right? And it was just a shitstorm, right? And they tried to dig out anything they could on Don Jr. and Trump's sons and stuff like that. So imagine if someone had done shit like this, right? So anyway, warning on the music here, but the imagery is, well, warning on that too, frankly. It's hilarious watching this burning trash fire at this point. That is the Biden family. Here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 crack commandments. Wow. Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack, this weed, my hustling niggas. niggas on the corner. I ain't forget you niggas. My triple B niggas.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I've been in this game for years. It made me an animal. It's rules to this shit. I wrote me a manual, a step by step booklet for you to get your game on track. Not your wig pushed back. Rule number uno. Never let no one know how much dough you hold. Cause you know. The cheddar breed jealousy, especially if that man fucked up. Get your ass stuck up. Number two, never let them know your next move. Don't you know bad boys move in silence and violence, take it from your hands. I done squeezed mad clips at these cats for they bricks and chips. Number three, never trust nobody. Your mama set that ass up properly.
Pretty based, huh? All right, pretty based.
For that fast buck, she be laying in the bushes to light that ass up. Number four, know you heard this before.
I think this is safe. I went through it one time, but I only did it with one eye, so I think it's okay. I think there's no. I mean, it's disgusting, obviously, because we know what's going on here. But I don't think there's any just, you know, straight dick on the screen here coming up, folks. So at least I'll spare you from that. Okay.
Completely separated. Money and blood don't mix like two dicks and no bitch. Find yourself in serious shit. Number eight. Never keep no weight on you. Them cats that
close.
Can hold jumps too. Number nine should have been number one to me. If you ain't getting back, stay the fuck from police. If niggas think you're snitching, they ain't trying to listen. They be sitting in your kitchen.
All right, I guess we've had it's breaking up there anyway. I've had it. That's enough. That's enough. He loves his was it Russian hookers or something like that? I think that's what he's. What even is that? Is that a? Oh, that's a torso and an elbow or something. All right. Anyway, you get the idea, right? This is what they're doing there. It's kind of, isn't it weird? You think, you know, Biden is president. They know they have this, like, train wreck of a son or dumpster fire, whatever you want to call it. Would they not have better security around this? It's just, it feels kind of weird, to be honest. But, oh well, whatever. It happened. Hope you enjoy that. And, of course, there was some significantly more disturbing stuff on there, too. Check out this photo here. We know this guy loves feet, right? So here he is with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children, right? 5 children. Does he have shorts on, or is that not that it matters? Well, it does matter, but like it's bad enough as this is, obviously, here, right? But is that like a white pair of shorts, or is that a towel? I don't know what the hell is going on here, but yeah, this is the kind of stuff that they're up to. And I think even you know, the iPhone hacked or leak, whatever you want to call it, right? People, you can actually like rebuild, you know, like contacts and stuff like that. And this came out with like Pedo Peter as one of the, so you guys see this, as one of the contacts. I should be laughing at this. This is quite, it's quite disgusting. And I've been watching, someone alerted me to the series that was the Peter Nygaard, Peter Nygaard, you know, the fashion designer, whatever, the pedophile. He's in jail now, thank God. But that documentary that he was in, I forget, Rich and Filthy or Filthy Rich or something, I forget what it was called. But I was checking that out, and I saw that in that series, they had a couple of other people, right? And like, you know, the Nexium cult, right? You guys remember that? They also had child pornography weaved into it. They had being bankrolled by one of the Bronfmans, right? One of the wealthiest Jewish families. I mean, they're out of Canada, right? But they're like mega wealthy. Claire Bronfman financed basically Nexium, that whole thing. And then, of course, you had, yeah, so Peter Nygaard, he was, you know, he was involved with like Epstein type stuff. Underaged, maybe, probably. But clear out in the open, I don't think so yet. I could be wrong on that, but I don't think so. But it was depraved and sick enough of what it was doing, of course. It's still models and stuff. I'm sure there was underage girl there, right? But then, of course, you have the Ghislaine Maxwell, the Jeffrey Epstein Network, and all these big, you know, groups, these child sex trafficking rings kind of interlocking to each other, I believe, to be honest, right? And I think could very well be that the Bidens are just like straight in like that with that, right? That's why they put this potato in chief. But apparently, now they said that the contact there, which people first said they believed it was actually Joe Biden, right? The daddy, huh? This big J, big H, what do they call him again? Anyway, but now it turns out it might be Natalie Biden's, the daughter of late Beau Beau Biden, right, the brother. And so he came out to apparently that Hunter had, let me see, he had sent nude photos of his brother's wife. I mean, there was a, it's not an ex-wife, right? Because they didn't divorce before he died, right? So it was like the current wife of, I think it was Beau, maybe it was one of the other brothers, or is it two, is it three, what is it now? I know one of the brothers' wife, Hunter sent a nude photo of her to his dad, to Joe Biden, right? And then you have the stories and the diary and stuff of one of the daughters there of taking inappropriate, it's just a huge mess, right? So yeah, I mean, not that we're run by Biden in America, right? But these are the people, these are the, it's pedophile networks. Oh, and the other series was the disappearance of Madeleine McCann in Portugal, right? You have Dutroux in Belgium. There's tons of shit like this in Portugal, right? We're run by these people. That's basically, it's, we're basically run by pedophiles and pedophile networks and child sex trafficking and pedophile groups. That's basically who's running the show. That's that, right? Absolutely sickening. All right, anyway. I didn't even intend to talk this much about this, but I wanted to show it to you anyway. We have RoboThink joining us over at, you have that down below as well, entropystream.live/RedIceTV. Thanks so much for that. RoboThink says, happy Thursday. Good to see you. I appreciate you. If you want to join in today, EntropyStream is good. Odyssey is open as well. And I've started creating kind of a new instance. Is that what you call it? A new entry for Odyssey each time. So it should be easier to read any donors that come in on Odyssey. Rumble, as I said, is open as well. We do have Power Chat. We do have the Cash App, a couple of other things as well. So I'll keep an eye on that throughout the stream here. Do as best as I can. But yes, guys, let's dive into some of the stuff here then today. We have, actually, we had Bastille Day today. Let me see if this is this still live? Let me see. Did you guys see this? Over in France, fireworks light up the Eiffel Tower on Bastille Day. I think they had some, they have fireworks. Let me see here. Let me go forward here. Come for the fireworks. It's such a, such a great time with, like, what is it? What do they call them now? The diversity fence under the Eiffel Tower. It's basically so out of control with the enriching diversity over there that the Eiffel Tower and adjacent area has become like a no-go zone, essentially. And of course, I mean, remember, this is French Revolution after all. This is the Jacobins and these insane, basically the inception point of insane liberalism, right? You had a revolution over in France, and then you had a sister revolution in the U.S., right, at the same time kind of going on. But anyways, that's what they're doing over there in France. I think they'd probably be better off if they spend some time trying to start from the top, deport some of the criminal networks, and then work yourself down the list. Those who hate French people, those who hate French, the French nation, those who shouldn't be there, well, get them out of your country. You're going to be replaced in a couple of decades, and then there won't be any Bastille Day. As insane as that is to celebrate, it is what it is. It's part of their culture now. But if you give it a little bit of time with current policies, well, there you go. You're not going to have shit like this anymore. It's going to be like Muslim prayer down below under the Eiffel Tower. Basically, practically all it is, right? All right. Anyway, yeah, Pagan Bear over on Odyssey. See, I can catch those right away now. That's good stuff. What did you say there, Pagan Bear? Can I click on it? Hail, Red Eyes. That's what he says. Hail to you as well. Good to see you. So I came across the... We'll start up a little bit nice and slow here today, right? Before we get into... we'll start with some weird, interesting things here in the beginning. And I saw... No, that's too far. Going too far. Let me see if I can reload this here. I saw this... No? Oh, that's weird. Okay, let me try to reload this again. Did it save the wrong one? No, here it is. Here it is. Okay, here we go. This is what I want to show you here. Magpies are basically having like a kind of a ritual or ceremony or like an acknowledgement around one of their fellow magpies that actually died. It's funny because I was talking with someone that I know about this. And I've never searched for this, but then all of a sudden I was looking for a video on the YouTube app, I think it was, or maybe I was logged into my account. This had come up mentioned, I've never searched for this, and it comes up as a recommended video, right? So that's how they do these things. But anyway, thought it was kind of interesting. Check this out, guys. This is pretty weird. Check this out. So one of them have died here. Yeah. The miracles of nature, and Whoever made all of this, check this out. Fellow slain brother. It's pretty sad, but they're doing what they're doing here. They're doing what they can. He's like, wake up, man. Is he gone? Is his soul, has his soul passed beyond the veil? Let's do a rite for our fallen brother, the magpie. Oh, he's eating him now? No. I don't think this didn't turn to cannibalism, or whatever that would be called. They're trying to wake him up. Crazy, huh? I think crows. Is it crows that does the same? I think it's crows. I mean, these are pretty smart birds, actually. Skott, I would call them in Sweden. It's one of the things. I think they are in the Pacific Northwest, I think, as well, but they're a little different, the American ones. The American magpies are a bit different than the ones we have in at least Northern Europe, right? But anyway, so that's that. It's highly fascinating, actually. They definitely seem to have tapped into another level there, right? And this too, check this out. We had a green sky the other day in South Dakota? I think it is. Check this out. Pretty strange. I don't think there's audio on this here. Is there? People were at a loss as to what caused the sky to turn bright green. Some internet users suggested they were in the TV series Very Strange Things. No, that's not what's happening. Others searched in vain for a scientific explanation of the natural phenomena. And there was one. A meteorologist with the U.S. National Weather Service explained that the clouds turned green due to refraction of light from the setting bright sun and interaction with particles of water and ice. I don't think so. I think that's fake. fake science right there. I'm not sure. I think we're in, what was that called? Was that Stephen King when the comet falls and all these green algae is growing on the guy? Do you guys remember that? What the hell was that? Was that just one of the, maybe that's just one of the Twilight Zone movies or something? Anyway, so I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. Is it algae? What is it? Why is it turning green? What's happening? It's just a refraction of light. I don't know. And then they had this too. Came across this today in our little bizarre and strange segment here. It was like, right away I was thinking, here we go. Alien gay op is beginning. Astronomers have detected a strange heartbeat signal in the depths of space. But what is it? Scientists at the MIT were caught by surprise after detecting a radio signal that emits periodically like a heartbeat. In a galaxy far away, there's a sound of a heartbeat. The sound is coming from a strange radio signal that emits periodically in the depths of space. Astronomers have discovered, and then you scroll down, and here's the region. A signal persists for longer, around 1,000 times longer, in fact, than the typical FBR, which stands for, what was it again? Fast radio burst. Raising questions about what could be causing it. No, it's not aliens, they go on to say here next. That's a shame. While mysterious, I'm not sure if they would want to stop by at this point, to be honest, considering what's going on. But at some point, they're going to start launching these things. And most likely, it'll be totally fake. But we'll see. While mysterious radio signals from space often set off excited talk to potential communication from ET, the explanation is likely that signal comes from a rare type of star. And they talked about some neutron star or something like that. That's like they're spinning around each other super fast, and then there's pulses and stuff. There's been a few of these that were like kind of really weird, you know. Not, I guess this is not. It's just more that when you discover the pattern, right? So speaking of other weird things and bizarre reasons, I guess they're fearing something happening here, but New York City released a public service announcement of what to do in case of a nuclear weapons attack. Look at this.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit.
Putin, maybe? Putin? Is it Putin?
Okay, so what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe.
That's right. So stay.
All right. You've got this.
You've got. Yeah. I hate that. Why do they have to say that all the time? It's so dumb and so gay. You've got this. All right. So anyway, so basically, go inside. If we tell you to go inside, stay inside, be very afraid. And then if we, for some reason, tell you you can't go outside, well, then you can't go outside. Remind you of anything, right? This is the next, like, well, we've had, folks, there was a nuclear, saw that, you see that bright light? That was a nuclear weapon, and you should go inside and stay inside until we can tell you to do it. I mean, look, it's not, I guess, completely out of the picture, considering that our Global Homo Friends is leading us in this direction. Are they going to go all the way? I don't know. We'll just have to see. It's too early to tell, right? But it's kind of, it's always a little curious and bizarre when they release these kinds of service announcements. Like, okay, are you expecting something here? What's going on with this? It stands to reason that being skeptical and questioning what they're pushing at us is a very sensible thing to do. All right, so I found this too. We're in the U.S. here now. Speaking about other weird things, in fact, remember this guy, Sam Brinton? I can, let me show you some pictures here. You might remember this person. They are basically known for being a transvestite, I guess, right? And that's, of course, why he primarily got a job in the Biden administration? He was appointed as the, let's see if I can get that. The Assistant Secretary of Spent Fuel and Waste Depositions in the Office of Nuclear Energy back in January of this year, 2022. And of course, he's known kind of as a dog LARPer. I guess he thinks he's a dog, right? An alleged pedophile, even. And supposedly, he's even educated as a nuclear engineer. That's still under dispute, right? Meet your federal government. New Department of Energy official is a drag queen kink lecturer and fan of bestiality. Was there any good? Here are some other photos. You remember this? Sam Brinton. Well, now it turns out that this this person here have gotten a very high clearance in the United States government for some reason. Here is, what's his name and what's the outlet? Raheed Kalim, or what is it called? A Britain, a UK guy. He was behind, what is it called? National Pulse, I think it is, right? Anyway, listen to what he says here about the specific clearance that this guy has gotten. Is it, sensitive? Really? Is it sensitive? Okay, well, yeah, I guess it is. It should be, I guess. Look at some of these photos of this guy here. Sam Brinton. Yes, you have to view like multiple times even just to see it. Here we go. So for some reason, this thing has gotten a very special clearance. Listen.
Against his hiring process. So we decided, in fact, we decided before we found out about that complaint, to look into what the hiring process was. Who is Sam Brinton, really? How did he get involved in this very high-paying government job? What are his qualifications? What does his resume look like? And we found out a couple of really interesting things. So Sam Brinton is actually an extremely highly paid government worker. He actually finds himself in the top 1% of all government workers.
Up there with Fauci, then. Must be important, a very important guy with an important position, right?
With his $180,000 a year salary. But that isn't the be-all and end-all of what we found out about Mr. Brinton. You see, we looked into his security clearance, and it turns out that Sam Brinton brought into the government just this year in January actually has the most sensitive top level of security clearance in the Department of Energy. That is a Q level clearance. The Q level clearance.
Q level. Is that for a reason or what?
Are only given to people who handle information, strategic information and data that could, if they fell into the wrong hands, irreparably really harm U.S. national security.
Of course.
So the person who you're seeing on your screens at the moment is the very person who is handling that kind of information. And I think with those new developments in mind, the public will especially want to know what has happened to this whistleblower complaint. Did the Inspector General of the department take it up? Is there an ongoing investigation into this? Were there any other complainants to this case? And I think a lot of this information is going to force answers out of the Department of Energy. And I'll say it again, there's more to come on Sam Brinton.
There's more to come on Sam Brinton. Yeah, here's the his tweet here, right? I'm not saying this is not the this is not like the military and the nuclear situation, right? But it's always weird when these things happen. And you think, like, is it blackmail? Are they surrounding themselves with these kinds of people for a reason, right? And it reminded me too of the judge, right? Because she was like, remember the first, you know, they were so proud of this, right? The first, let me close a couple of windows here. The first black woman, right? Where'd she go? Oh, here it is, right? The first black woman here appointed to the Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson. And of course, she was known for lowering punishments significantly for convicted pedophiles, right? There's something that they're surrounding themselves and preparing themselves and putting themselves in a situation where they're basically are going to be, I think from their point of view, want to continue with this disgusting behavior of going after kids. And so that they no one will get to them, right? But is that what's going on? What's happening here? It's very bizarre. But NPR had the piece here. They're very happy about this. This is June 30th, nonetheless. But reminded me of this. Very bizarre. Very strange, right? Why are they so obsessed about putting people who are either pedophiles into positions of power, or at least those who are apologists for them, or they somehow look the other way, or they help them out, or they lower punishments, like in the case of this woman, right? Absolutely disgusting. I can't believe that that's what we've achieved. But again, what are you going to do? This is the politics of 2022. We're back right here, folks. This is what it is. It's one big ass in your face. That's what it's turned into. Ay, ay, ay. Absolutely sickening. All right. So anyway, in some other developments here, China is still a problem, right? But there's still other countries that are bigger problems. Although the countries are smaller, they're still a bigger problem. See? But here's one regarding Chinese. And as you're watching this clip, of course, this shouldn't be allowed, all those things, right? But imagine if they would have covered the things that they do with China about, countries like Israel, for example. Check out what China and CCP is up with right now.
China is buying up some American farmland. The question is China doing that to spy on the U.S. military? Some lawmakers and intel officials say it's a real concern. The question centers around a controversial land sale between North Dakotans and a company with ties to Beijing.
Oh, that's why the sky turned green. Or yellow. Was it yellow? Anyway, let's drop that. Let's move on.
CBC's Eamon Javers spoke with some key players behind that deal.
This is Grand Forks Air Force Base in North Dakota, home of some of the nation's most sensitive technology, including the RQ-4 Global Hawk surveillance drone. And this property sits just about 20 minutes down the road, more than 300 acres of prime farmland. Earlier this year, three North Dakotans who owned parcels here sold this land for millions of dollars to a subsidiary of a Chinese company that says it wants to build a corn milling plant.
Now that transaction has come under scrutiny here in Washington, D.C., where some in the intelligence community warn that the deal should be blocked because it could...
I mean, it should, right? But imagine them doing this for Israeli companies, too.
...would offer Chinese spies unprecedented access to the American base.
It's an only-in-America kind of fight.
So it's a complete coincidence that it's that close to the base, right? Of course.
Pitting the property and economic rights of a community against national security warnings from high-ranking officials in the nation's capital. The Chinese company at the heart of the controversy is the Fufeng Group, based in Shandong, China. Its American subsidiary says the company is not a threat.
We're under U.S. laws. We're I'm an American citizen. I grew up my whole life here, and I'm not going to be doing any type of espionage activities or be associated with a company that does.
Of course. That has never happened. People have never lied about that. They've never gotten money on the back end. Or kickbacks or anything like that, right? We'll talk about this story in a moment here, but this is just a, well, that's okay. Well, that's it. We don't, because we certainly don't have any traders, right, in our Western countries.
The city's mayor says he just wants to do business.
It's a $700 million plant, so that would really be the largest single investment in the city's history. The FBI, didn't say there was any immediate concerns. They said, if you see something, say something.
The Air Force hasn't taken any official position on the Chinese investment, but an Air Force major composed an alarming memo in April, obtained by CNBC, laying out what he believes to be the intelligence threat. He wrote, "Some of the most sensitive elements of Grand Forks exist with the digital uplinks and downlinks inherent with unmanned air systems and their interaction with space-based assets." The Air Force says Major Jeremy Fox was only speaking for himself, but he's not the only one with security concerns. In a report released May 26th, the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission wrote, "The location of the land close to the base is particularly convenient for monitoring air traffic flows in and out of the base, among other security-related concerns." That's why Senator Kevin Cramer says he opposes the project in his own state, despite the economic benefits it might bring.
I think we grossly underappreciate how effective they are at collecting information, collecting data.
Yeah, but the money, man. Think about the money.
Using it in nefarious ways. And I just as soon not have the Chinese Communist Party doing business in my backyard.
It's pretty level-headed take.
Chairman and ranking member of the Senate Intelligence Committee told CNBC they also have concerns about the Chinese development.
Now the city won't build out.
And it's like, okay, great. Now to Israel, right? Can you do that? Like they've actually been caught spying numerous occasions. What was the latest one with Trump, right? Despite like he's the most he could be king of Israel, this guy, and they're still in there like planting stingray devices and shit like this. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. From the USS Liberty to the whole 9/11 thing with P-Tech chat? Do you remember what the company was, right? Even the company that did ICQ, what do they call again? Something with an S, wasn't it? Was roped. This is like years ago. It's not fresh in my memory now, right? But like all these Israeli companies that were in the World Trade Center building magically didn't show up to work that day. It's like they knew something was going to happen, right? Caught again and again. Obviously they have like, senators and congressmen by the balls anyway, and then you have AIPAC and all these other things, right? It's like, look, I mean, China is a concern. It's not that, but it's like that's... It's almost a secondary layer to the concern, and the Rubios and these dumb idiots would never question that. No. It's our greatest ally. Don't you dare say anything about sweet old Israel, right? All right. So anyway, so they're buying farmland there in the Dakotas, right? And then we have this one here. But let me take this one here first. My Six Gorillion says I took my new bride to Portland. That's right. You mentioned that last stream Friday, right? On our journey back home, we were terrorized by assholes throwing shit at our windshield through through Idaho, Oregon, and Nevada. It was super cool being around whites, but overall, I'm thoroughly disappointed in where I'm from. What happened? How did that happen? Terrorized by assholes throwing shit at our windshield through Idaho, Oregon, Nevada. What happened? Did you have like something on the car that they didn't approve of? I'm curious. Send us an email and tell us more about that. That's fascinating. Thank you. And sorry for your sort of bad experience there. Hopefully that that's not how it's supposed to be. In Portland, I can understand, right? The general like wackos. Nevada, Oregon, maybe a little bit too. Idaho, they're just so sick of people coming in, I guess. It's like growing like crazy, right? Okay, so here's little Billy Gates. And here's the Daily Beast. And again, it's just totally, you know, covering, right? Totally covering for Bill Gates here. Oh, it's like the pedophile thing. They're like, oh, look at how concerned the right wing is with so-called pedophiles and pedophile networks. They think pedophiles are running things. They're so silly. Like, you look at those documentaries on McCann, Dutroux, Epstein, Peter Nygaard. I mean, there's a numerous other ones of them out there. Like, no doubt. I mean, in the McCann one, I mean, they have agents there from Interpol, even to the FBI, or CIA, I guess it would be, because it's international, right? Just talking how little resources are going into actually going after these networks. And I mean, in many regards, they are the Interpol. They are these federal intelligence services and international intelligence services. They've nestled their way in there too. You're not going to get it. But no, the big problem is white supremacy. You see, that's the big problem here. So anyway, so in a similar kind of vein here, by the Daily Beast, North Dakotans freak out over Bill Gates' land buying mystery. Yeah, because it's for no reason, he's been up to so many good things. The billionaire finds himself at the center of another controversy, this time involving his sprawling farmland portfolio. Yeah, so he's buying up all the farmland to basically shut it down, right? This is Agenda 2030. We go over this almost every other show because it's so important, because this is like right in your face, exactly what they're doing right now to create conditions of only sparsity, is that the term? Limited supply, the food supply, right? So shutting down farms and stuff. And of course, then they're going to swing in with all the good options, right? The fake lab-grown meat, the bugs, you know, all of it, right? And they're going to drive you off the land. This is why they're doing this shit. It says here anyway, he's one of the richest men in the world and the largest individual owner of farmland in the country, the U.S. Now Bill Gates appears to have acquired a slice of their tiny city, and locals near Pembina, North Dakota, aren't happy about it. Well, they shouldn't be. The news is making waves across the state as well. The public's kind of in an uproar, said Doug Goring, base name there. Goring, you're right, yeah. North Dakota's agricultural commissioner. Holy shit, how did that happen? It's a matter of he has no tie to the land. He has no tie to agriculture. He's going around to different states and purchasing land. The deal, which closed last November but was recently reported by Ag Week, I guess the Agricultural Week, involved roughly 2,100 acres in Pimba and Walsh counties at a total price of approximately $13.5 million. The outlet said, this is, of course, nothing for these people. They sold their soul and they have all the money in the world. They allow themselves to be, Epsteined and blackmailed into the positions that they hold. And now they're complying and doing what they're told. The sellers included members of North Dakota's prominent Campbell family who run an eponymous potato farming business in multiple states. One member of the family named on the deed transfer, Thomas Campbell, previously served in the North Dakota Senate and ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. The deal compromised just a small percentage of Gates' overall holding. As of last year, he owned an estimated 242,000 acres of farmland across the country, more than anyone, according to the industry publication Land Report. Still, the North Dakota purchase was big enough to rankle residents. It made the local news because we don't see Bill Gates on a regular basis. Let's put it that way. Said Jim Benjaminson, who is the Pembina County Commissioner. What is else here? According to Goering, local frustrations stem from two issues. First, many North Dakotans don't agree with Gates' supposed value system. Does he have any? With some believing his vaccine advocacy has been a cover for population control. Here they go, right? Oh, look at these crazy conspiracies. And the fact checkers have cast doubt on this claim. People just don't want Bill Gates in the state, he said. It's kind of like, go home. The other less conspiratorial frustration is about the transaction price. Goering said that the land sold for less than what it would have been brought within the community. Of course, so he gets a sweet deal, of course, right? Creating the perception that the Campbell offloaded their property to Gates just to rub shoulders with him, even though locals would have jumped to buy. A spokesperson for Gates was not available for comment as of publication time. Members of the Campbell family did not respond to requests for comment. Oh, they didn't get back to you there, Daily Beast. Noah Kurt, how the hell can you name your outlet to Daily Beast? The Daily Satan. JP says, Henrik, one thing history has taught us is that land can always be taken back. That is true. That is definitely true. Well, we're losing some of ours now, too, right? They're seceding. Is that the right term? Just losing it, right? But yes, that door swings in both directions. Absolutely true. Thank you, JP. While we're up in that neck of the woods, a little bit too late to the party here, but it's always fun when they rub people wrong, right? The Idaho Republican Party will consider 31 resolutions at its three-day convention starting Thursday today, including one already adopted by the Texas Republicans, claiming that President Joe Biden isn't the legitimate leader of the country. They're very salty about that. It's not that it matters. I mean, even if it would be proven right now, no doubt, and I mean, I think it has between 2,000 mules and the early material that came out, it's a done deal. They cheated. They did a coup. And they put the potato in place. But even if that's like, you know, mainstream accepted, right, is he going to be kicked? No, it's not going to happen. I'm not saying it shouldn't be exposed, because again, that would actually, I think that'll help to kind of shake some people's worldview that badly needed at this point, if they haven't already, you know, realized that something's wrong, right? So it's not a completely lost cause. Sure, keep pushing it, but like nothing's gonna come from it anyway, right? But they get big mad every time someone brings it up, that's for sure. All right, so while we're at we're going to talk about some of the crazy shit that's going on with the anti-white stuff a little bit later as well. Both in the Sweden and then the UK. And I thought we could look with Bastille Day today, right? So we could look at a clip. I can put it up on our Telegram about it's a French artist who was commissioned by one of the Rothschilds. And we covered this like 2, maybe even more, 3 years ago at the time. Peterson, I forget the first name of the artist of these anti-white works. It's horrendously murderous, disgusting, and despicable, the art, so-called art that they're pushing here, right? Imagine if the roles of the races involved in these artworks were reversed. Well, you've had outrage and cancellations and people probably in jail for hate crimes right now, but because it's blacks beating and colonizing and raping whites, then it's totally fine. Take a look at this clip here, see if you enjoy this. Cleon, that's right, Cleon Peterson.
Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want
Yeah, look at some of these depictions. Someone's asking, oh, do you think it's like a spiritual thing, black against white? No, this is absolutely not what it is. Look at these pictures here. There we go. That's the maybe that's the ironically on Bastille Day, right? A French so-called artist, right? This is like the culmination of the Jacobin wet dream right here, the anti-white wet dream. And then, of course, it doesn't help that it's funded by the Rothschild family, the Jewish Rothschild family, right? But no, the point is too. If this was reversed, like it was white characters doing this to black ones, it would have been a absolute shit show around this. And you know it would have been, right? And actually, a little bit later, we'll kind of return to some of that. I think we'll definitely have time. Of just some of the anti-white violence out there and how insane it's getting. And of course, this is amped up by the media, right? And this kind of environment, right? We're talking culture, media, we're talking, you know, not only news media, but entertainment media. It's like ubiquitous within the mainstream culture in the world, this anti-white sentiment, essentially, and the hatred and the violence, right? Open season, as I say. Okay, so I wanted to show you another clip I came across, too, which is kind of interesting. It's actually John Bolton, I guess, from one Israeli to another. He's effectively could be. He's a neocon, and he was actually went on CNN and talked with Jake Tapper, where he all of a sudden, you know, they talk about J6 and like, is it a coup and was it intentional? Are they smart when they pull this off and stuff? And he kind of comes back against Jake Tapper. We'll play the clip. And where he basically says, no, it's like a coup is really hard to pull off. I've been part of a number of them, actually, in fact. Listen to this. It kind of begins around J6, but it turns into the coup thing pretty quickly. Listen to this.
Not heed the advice and keep shopping around until you end up with this group of misfits with like Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell. Is he just not capable of hearing no?
Well, when it comes to his personal advantage, the answer is he doesn't listen to anybody else. But I think it's also important to understand, while nothing Donald Trump did after the election in connection with the lie about the election fraud, none of it is defensible. None of it is defensible. It's also a mistake, as some people have said, including on the committee, the commentators, that somehow this was a carefully planned coup d'etat aimed at the Constitution. That's not the way Donald Trump does things. It's rambling.
Yeah, I think he's right there, and he kind of dovetails with like how they treated this, right? There was like it was a bunch of people that walked in that didn't know what to do next. There was no plan. I think he's absolutely right there, but that's not the point of the clip. The point of the clip is where this goes next.
From one half vast idea to another, one plan that falls through and another comes up. That's what he was doing. As I say, none of it defensible. But you have to understand the nature of what the problem of Donald Trump is. He's, to use a Star Wars metaphor, a disturbance in the force. And it's not an attack on our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places.
Not here, but other places. That's gold. Let's listen to that again.
The problem of Donald Trump is he's, to use a Star Wars metaphor, a disturbance in the force. And it's not an attack on our democracy. It's Donald Trump looking out for Donald Trump. It's a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places.
That's incredible, right? And I mean, but they did, though, right? I'm not saying he personally was involved in this, but this is what they, of course, did in the last election, right? They said Trump is going to not leave the White House. They're going to do a coup. They're going to fake everything. Well, this is projection, right? It was actually what they were doing. I'm thinking back on a couple of really good Revolver news pieces. I'm trying to find some of the names there as well, but there was, you know, the Election Integrity Project, and it was what was the name of all these people now? Man, Eisen, right? What was his first name? Robert Eisen. I forget. It was a bunch of these people, right? Super well versed in like how to do this in other countries, and of course, eventually they turned this on the U.S. But anyway, Jack Tapper actually comes back here in a little bit, and he continues to question this. Let's keep playing.
It takes a lot of work, and that's not what he did. It was just stumbling around from one idea to another. Ultimately, he did unleash the rioters at the Capitol. As to that, there's no doubt. But
not really, no.
Not overthrow the Constitution to buy more time to throw the matter back to the states to try and redo the issue. And if you don't believe that, you're going to overreact. And I think that's a real risk for the committee, which has done a lot of good work. Mostly when the witnesses testify, not when the members are.
Yeah, Norm Eisen. Thank you, Mr. Nussberg. That's right. Norm Eisen, huge. I mean, he was part of the whole coup that happened in the 2020 election.
Opining. It is invariably the case that when you go too far trying to prove your case, you undermine it. And I think you got to give credit to the intelligence of the American people to listen to the witnesses and let them come to the conclusion.
That was complete bullshit, too, by the way, but whatever.
And I think the fellow who had actually gone into the Capitol, who said today that he had blinders on and he was too loyal to one person, that is the central point.
Yeah, no, it's something, and as I think Laura Coates said, or somebody said earlier, an offering for a lot of.
Anyway, it continues here. We'll play that in a second. But remember that when they all walked neatly and nicely within the velvet ropes, right? It was like no disturbance. Sure, one guy sat in a chair and Nancy Pelosi's office, someone picked up a podium or something. But it's like mostly there was some violence and pushing against the police officers in one of the entrances. But beyond that, it was like, nah. Anyway, so here's more. Jake actually asked him about the coup here, the coup d'etat.
To anathematize the rest of the Republican Party. And that's unacceptable.
I do want to ask a follow-up. When we were talking about what is capable, what you need to do to be able to plan a coup, and you cited your expertise having planned coups.
I'm not going to get into the specifics, but...
You bastard. You filthy bastard.
Successful coups?
Well, I wrote about Venezuela in the book, and it turned out not to be successful. Not that we had all that much...
Well, destruction was the point, wasn't it?
...to do with it, but I saw what it took for an opposition to try and overturn an illegally elected president, and they failed.
And you know what? Again, I'm like not a big fan of Russia and all that, but like how these people have kvetched about Russia and stuff. Oh my God, they're doing this and that. It's like you have no room to talk. You've like invaded countries, you're deposed leaders, you created utter havoc and wrecked nations, bombed them to pieces, and now it's like, well, you know. It's success. It's been so great in the countries we've gone into. We've done a great job in bringing global homo to some of the countries around the world.
Wishing that Donald Trump was half as competent as the Venezuelan opposition is laughable. But I think there's another.
I feel like you're this other stuff you're not telling me, though.
I think I'm sure there is. I think there's another point here that came out in the testimony that's not been stressed enough. testimony.
All right, I think that's it on the coup part, right? But see if I can find a picture of that. One of them I'm thinking of course, is what everyone's favorite, right? Wesley Clark brought up here at one random conference. I forget when it was. Oh, sorry, someone's playing her. What is that? Autoplay. Let me stop that. And it was about, let me get back on track here. Wesley Clark, right, the supreme commander of Europe, NATO's supreme commander of Europe, general, whatever the full title is, right? Who talked about, you know, the time for ethnic nations in Europe is over, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, right? But he blurted out and happened to mention, right after 9/11, with Democracy Now! Had a clip. Maybe it was a conference by them. I can't actually remember. And it's like, oh, we're just told from up top we're going to invade all these countries and depose all these leaders. And we didn't know what to do. It was after 9/11. Let's use that. He kind of said it like that, right? But I'm paraphrasing a little bit. We're just told to use that like as an opportunity. Just go into all these countries, right? You know, and many of them, of course, were countries that they did, you know, go into. Afghanistan, Iraq, I believe Libya was on that list. I believe Syria was on that list. There was a couple of other countries as well, which I think they haven't gone into so far. But it reminded me of Gaddafi, right? Generally, I think a good leader, little cringe, a little nouveau riche in some of his attitude. But hey, it's that part of the world. That's what they do down there. And of course, he was brutally murdered back in, when is that now? Maybe Chad has that. 2008, 9? Is that something like that? Maybe 11? I don't know. Maybe someone has it. But anyway, so things are going great after they deposed that guy, right? Yeah, here's, as I said earlier in the show, here's protesters, so-called protesters. And maybe it's for a good reason, I don't know, but the point is perpetual chaos, right? Perpetual just insanity and mayhem in many of these other countries where these people have deposed leaders and put a new puppet in place and stuff like that. Here's Libyan parliament on fire. Check this out. All right, there you go. So that's some of the footage from there right now. So things are looking up. Things are looking to be going really well, right? Sri Lanka, right? The World Economic Forum got their teeth in there a while back. I think that time, I think he's gone now, right? He's actually been, he decided to resign, I believe. The prime minister there had joined up some way with the World Economic Forum, I believe, or at least the World Economic Forum had gotten kind of involved in it and said like, oh, here's the prime minister. He talks how he's going to fix the economy within, you know, five years or whatever, right? And now, of course, everything is burning to the ground over there too. Everything is turning to shit. Look, there's a lot of protests around the world, almost too much to keep up with. Things are getting massively destabilized all over the world. It's coming to primarily to third and second world countries first, but this, I believe, is eventually going to come to the Western world as well. That's what I think. And they've already kind of tried to prep us with, like, you know, what do they call it? Food shortage, migration, you know, these kinds of things, right? So we'll see where that goes. But things, of course, is not much better in the West. It's like we're teetering on the brink anyway, economically and stuff like that. So we'll see how this turns out. But it reminded me of what's happening in the UK now as well, where basically the whole damn conservative party over there, the Tories, are collapsing and falling apart. They kind of got, I think there is a plan in that, even in that. Boris Johnson is, of course, he's a doofus in many regards. But kind of think of the framing too a little bit, right? He eventually got in there after Theresa May. She did resign, right, after she couldn't get the Brexit deals through and all that stuff. And he comes in kind of a clown, right? But it's like you couldn't get much more of a kind of an Anglo-looking guy, right? Boris Johnson, right? He's like, you know, I think he claimed he had some Jewish in there. Well, I'm not even sure that's true, but whatever. You know, just talk about the surface for a moment, right? He's like one of the whitest guys in that way visually that you can like get in Britain at this point, right? And so he hired I have to follow up more on the story, but he hired some guy that started to grope a bunch of people and stuff. Like, I forget his name now. But so a bunch of ministers have started resigning. And, of course, the whole thing kind of started during COVID, really, right? When they had a bunch of parties. They didn't give a shit about the, you know, what the people were going through. There was lockdowns. There was restrictions. The people of Britain couldn't do shit, essentially. And they basically were having, like, Coke parties every other weekend, it seems like. And this eventually came out. Remember that story, too, where they found Coke everywhere, like both in Labour, but also the Tory, around the bathrooms. It was like traces of cocaine everywhere. This is the nature of these puppets being run by these pedo rings, right? So anyway, so now there's a bunch of chaos. Who's going to replace Boris Johnson? Everything's coming apart. I mean, numerous, too many to count now. Ministers have resigned in protest and stuff. It's just all coming apart. And so this happened, right? That where basically the dumb white guy that's Boris Johnson is now going to be replaced by a sensible, reasonable, non-English conservative leader, right? And someone even said here, check this out: we've already won. Of those declared or are considering running for the leadership of Conservatives and next UK Prime Minister, majority are from ethnic minority communities. Whatever our politics or favorites, let's celebrate them all. Why? Because they're replacing the whites, right? They are representing the changing face of Great Britain. And included a photo here, right? So here's the arc here of the story arc of the UK changing and transforming. I mean, we'll see if they can save any of this, to be honest. Much of the West is circling the toilet economically, demographically. These will be some shaky times coming up, especially if they pull off what they were trying to do right now with the food supply and stuff like that. This might not help, but at least visually, I think that this is what they're like attempting to do. This is how they're trying to spin all this. And we played last Friday, a video of the guy in the top left there. What's his name? I forget his name now. Who's like, you know, what's great about Britain is the diversity and that it's open to everybody. He's trying to do this like, melting pot kind of thing, right? They're pushing this on the UK in the same way they have in the US. So anyway, so that's a travesty and an absolute just, I mean, shame in terms of what's happening to the English people. Well, for that matter, to the Welsh, the Scottish as well, you know, all of UK, all of Britain. And this is what it's turning into. Out with the white guy, in with the brown savior. That's basically the narrative framing in what's happening right now in the UK. So we'll see. They still have some time, I think, to go in terms of picking one. I haven't followed up on all the dates yet and stuff like that, but we'll keep monitoring it. It will be celebrated and a historic thing. It'll be seen as a win against evil colonialism and blah, blah, blah. The anti-whiteness is being turned up, folks. That's the point right here. All right. So going over to Germany here a little bit, things are turning up, is getting crazy there too. Saw this one. Because of the deals between Russia and Europe falling apart, Nord Stream gas is being cut off. They didn't want to buy it to begin with. Then they come crawling anyway. Like, how are we going to heat our homes? We don't have any energy. What do we do, right? So now, as a way of preparing for this looming disaster of no energy in many European countries coming this autumn and winter, the several municipalities in Germany are setting up what they call heating rooms in lieu of lack of gas, right? In the middle of summer, many mayors in Germany get chills down their spines. This is a Google Translate, so it might be a bit wonkier. For the first time since the Second World War, cities are preparing to provide warm rooms, not only for individual groups, such as refugees, but for the entire population. Many cities and municipalities are using their emergency plans from the time of the wave of refugees in 2015. Is that still in place? Is that what they're saying? Of course it is. Germany is an occupied country. It's occupied still under like the Marshall Plan and these things, right? Then there was a German Marshall Fund and, you know, they're like on paper, not their own country. Yeah, heat rooms, many cities know this as a scenario from the time when the number of refugees peaked in 2015. The first municipalities are now setting up such rooms again or preparing for them. a scenario that the Association of Towns and Municipalities explicitly recommend to you at the weekend. Since no one can say exactly how dramatic the development will be, consideration should also be given to providing heat islands or warm rooms where older people in particular can stay even in cold, in very cold weather, says the general manager, Gerd Landsberg. A demand that meets with that was met with opposition, especially from trade unions, and politicians don't want to hear that everywhere either. Again, the translation is a bit wonkier. The SPD parliamentary group leader in the North Rhine-Westphalia state parliament, Alexander Vogt, said over the weekend. But so this is what they're this is what it's leading to now. Out of spite and Russia garbage and nonsense, they do not have any backups or any options. At least, weirdly, but the super anti-French, anti-white Macron, actually, will they do it? That's a different thing. But at least they were talking now about actually building out their nuclear power plants and stuff. And it's not maybe an ideal power source, but like, hey, what are you going to do? You know, short of like Zero Point or some like tokamak reactors or some, cool new stuff. That's what they have, right? Cold fusion or something, right? Nuclear is somewhat decent, right? Hopefully we can solve the spent nuclear fuel issue in the future or something, right? Anyway, so this is what it's going to. So they're like, we're going out of spite and because of our war, right, with Russia, our people are not going to freeze to death. And of course, again, the zero carbon emission bullshit have brought all this as well, and that's in unison with this, right? Oh, we're going to do away with all the coal power plants, and we're not going to have any petrochemicals anymore, no oil, blah blah blah, and now people are going to freeze, essentially. We'll see what happens here, but it could get really bad this winter and autumn in some European countries. All right, over to Israel and America here. Saw these here yesterday. Biden and Lapid, who's now taken over, right? Lapid, Yar Lapid, I think it is. He was going to serve with Naftali Bennett, like half of their tenure. Is that what they call it? So Naftali was 2 years, and that's up. And so now it's Lapid that's taking over the position. So he, together with Biden, signed the Jerusalem Declaration. Yesterday, a platform for U.S.-Israeli cooperation. Oh, well, there you go, because there isn't such things already, is there? Between AIPAC and, some of these interest groups and stuff. It's kind of weird. I thought it was the worst. No, of course. No, let's have even more. Senior officials says historic statement commits both countries to, quote, use all elements of national power to keep Iran from the bomb. That's right. Israel can have the bomb. They do not have to be part of the nuclear proliferation treaty. Did I get that right? I think so. I think I nailed that one. Basically, when you sign on, you're like, yes, you can have inspectors come and then check your arsenals. What do you have? Are you allowed by the international community to have them? Blah, blah. No. Israel is that one exception, right? They can have whatever the hell they want, and if someone opposes them, then they'll blackmail them, or they'll squeeze them out, or they'll infiltrate their governments to get what they want, right? Israel and the U.S. will release on Thursday a joint declaration on the future of the bilateral relationship, a senior Israeli official said Tuesday. The declaration will be released to the public after Thursday's meeting in Jerusalem between Prime Minister Yair Lapid and U.S. President Joe Biden. The document titled The Jerusalem Declaration on the U.S.-Israeli Strategic Partnership is a, quote, historic statement that shows the unique nature of what we have between our countries, the official said. Yeah, it's a very cozy relationship, but it's only really one side that benefits from this. It is a platform for cooperation in the coming years, said the official, adding that it is a, quote, strong expression of the vitality and indispensability of the relationship between Israel and the U.S. The document addresses the Iranian nuclear program, committing both countries to use all elements of national power to stop Iran from achieving a nuclear weapon. Does that mean a ground troop invasion of the country? I would assume so. They've been going back to Bolton, right? They've been chomping at the bit to get to Iran for a long time. They need a central bank. They need Global Home over there, right? They're not part of the other gangs in the Middle East that we're teaming up with right now. And in fact, the other store we had on this too actually talks about that. how the there's now a deal between the U.S. and the Saudis, to Saudi Arabia, for what they call normalization steps towards Israel. Middle Eastern diplomat confirms agreement is moving forward, will allow Israeli airlines to fly over Arab Kingdom as well as direct flights from Israel for Muslim pilgrims. U.S. President Joe Biden, during his visit to Jeddah this weekend, will announce the successful brokering of an agreement between Saudi Arabia and Egypt that will see Riyadh take steps towards normalization with Israel. A Middle East diplomat confirmed to the Times of Israel Thursday the normalization measures will include Saudi Arabia opening its airspace to Israeli flights to the Far East, in addition to rolling out direct flights between Israel and Saudi Arabia for Muslim pilgrims. The Middle East diplomat said, confirming reports in the Axios News website, the U.S. has been seeking to finalize the transfer of the Tiran and Sanafir Red Sea Island from Cairo to Riyadh in time for Biden's visit to Jeddah, where he will be participating in the GCC plus three summit. What is that again? And hold a bilateral meeting with Saudi officials. Let me just check what that is real quick. I have not heard. Is that just the like a regional thing? Is it like the it's like their G7 or something? Is that what it is? Let me see if I can find anything about that. GCC countries express some optimism ahead of Biden's Saudi visit. GNU project. That's definitely not it. Okay, do they explain this here? Maybe they do, huh? Let me see. Here we go. Okay, Gulf Cooperation Council plus Egypt, Iraq, and Jordan, known as the GCC plus three. Thank you. Okay. This forum has added an extra dimension to the GCC's influence, and the meeting is significant for both Gulf and U.S. interests. So they're basically circling all those countries now. They're not like bowing down and obeying to the international order, right? Iran is not. Let me see what it says here. Israeli handed over control of the two islands to Egypt as part of their 1979 peace agreement, but the sides agreed to demilitarize the islands and to allow the presence of multinational observers forced to remain. Israel had been seeking similar announcements from Saudi Arabia in order to sign off on the deal, but Riyadh has been hesitant to put the commitment in writing, the diplomat said last week. Axios reported Thursday that Israel has now given its official agreement to transfer of the transfer of the islands. What's the can't believe that's being done without any kind of hook to this whole thing, but all right. The deal is legally complex because the countries do not maintain official ties and therefore are working through conduits. Riyadh also has been hesitant to put details of the agreement in writing, much to Israel's discomfort, a diplomat previously said. I mean, the Saudis have been cozying up with Israel for a long time right now. If you look at, you know, there's history here going back to the Wahhabis and all that stuff. We've talked about some of that in the past, right? But anyway, so what they're talking about now, it's steps towards normalization between all these countries and basically, you know, bringing them into the Western Israeli fold, essentially, right? And of course, when Biden was at his little trip here, he made a, this is Fox News here, they had to point this out, a Holocaust gaffe during Israel's visit. President Biden later visited the Yad Vashem Memorial to honor Holocaust victims. Do they have that in the clip here? Oy vey, let's listen and see what he said here.
If we can get later this alone. Today, I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide, and continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the
every single day. I'm not sure why the video's not working. Let me go back there.
Continue. Honor those we lost so that we never, ever, ever forget that lesson.
Was that the gaffe? I guess he blundered on the first word. Let me reload that. What did it say? Just don't give me an ad right now, Fox. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right. Can you play? Let me see here. Was it just because he didn't say, like, Yad Vashem directly? Is that what they're talking about?
I will once more return to the hollow ground of Yad Vashem to honor 6 million Jewish lives were stolen in the genocide. And continue, which we must do every day, continue to bear witness. To keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust, horror of the Holocaust. Honor those we lost so that we never, ever, ever forget that lesson.
All right. There we go. That's enough of that then. All right. I guess that wasn't good enough. So big complaint here. Visiting Israel on Wednesday added yet another entry to his long list of gaffes, mistakenly saying we must keep alive the honor of the Holocaust. The president made the flub shortly after touching down in Israel, kicking off a two-day visit to the Middle Eastern countries, different leaders. All right, I guess that's it. But they have to go and do that every time, of course. Even if they're in wherever they go, they have to do that, right? Well, speaking of submitting and bowing down, the ADL asks Iceland to take down Boston Mapping Project, a quote threat to Jewish community. Now, do you boys and girls remember when we talked about the synagogue that were planned to be built in Iceland, and how the ADL sent them like threats and letters of like basically like your tourism is like mostly from America, and you know this is bringing you a lot of money, and if you don't comply, that's right. It's not just about the synagogue. They were going to ban circumcision, right? They were going to ban that, and they were going to say, we don't want that here. This is not part of our customs. Let's do away with that. Let's actually pass a law against it, right? And of course, all hell broke loose, right? And they started threatening them. So it's like this, no, if you don't want this, ADL will come for you, right? That's basically what this is about. If you don't want that, the ADL will go after you. And they threatened Iceland after this. And I'm not sure if they actually did. I should check that out. But they were like, oh, immediately we got to send a rabbi to Israel. We have to build a synagogue. We have to like start activism against Israel. That was the point of it. We've covered it a few times. It's incredible. Like the mob level threats that they pushed against Iceland, basically like saying essentially, we control the media in the U.S. and we have contacts everywhere in the media. And we'll begin slamming you as like Nazis if you go ahead with this. I should actually follow up and see what they actually did there. But so now, again, they're going after Iceland, right? Because they don't like it. And actually, let's watch that clip again on the mapping project, because it might ring a couple of bells for you there. If you didn't see that yet, it's actually kind of interesting. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Just know this, they're going after Holland, Iceland again. So reading Hollander. They're going after Iceland again because they're not bowing down and removing this website, which is not beneficial to them. And the ADL doesn't like it, and this is how they go about their business. They threaten, they depose, they trash, they defame, especially the ADL, they're experts. This supposed anti-defamation league is absolute experts on defaming individuals, groups, and now entire countries, in fact. All right, anyway, I'll see if I can find that later. Absolutely crazy stuff, right? All right, so anyway, let's play this clip, and I can look for the other one meanwhile. Over to the UK, or back to the UK again. Let's play a little bit of a clip of a young girl, really, who was raped by Muslim grooming gangs, pedophiles, rape gangs, when starting at age 5, I believe. She had gone on GB News and talked about this. And what happened afterwards is that she was targeted by the police as they come pounding on her door, asking her questions about her media appearance on GB News. So now she returned to that channel. It could be very informative for you to look at some of this and see how they treat actual victims of grooming gangs and rapes in the UK. Kind of same in Sweden, same in Germany, many other countries as well. They actually target and go after and harass the victims as opposed to the actual pedophile perpetrators. Check this out.
As you know, in Britain, everything is policed except crime. Officially, only 6% of all crimes lead to even a charge or a summons, never mind a conviction. And that 6% figure is likely inflated by the likes of the Met and other forces not even bothering to record thousands upon thousands of crimes. But the tacit consent of police in South Yorkshire, West Yorkshire, Greater Manchester, and any number of other constabularies to the decades-long sex slavery of English girls by Pakistani rape gangs is a whole other level of wickedness, for there is not a lot to be said for any society in which those entrusted with law enforcement do not protect the most vulnerable amongst us. Telford in Shropshire is one of those towns. It's a new town, as they say, centred on Ironbridge, birthplace of the Industrial Revolution. Today, the only industrial thing going on in Telford is industrial-scale sexual abuse, to which the police turned a blind eye.
Sounds great. What an export, eh?
For 10 years, Samantha Smith was a victim of not only her abusers, but also of police indifference to her fate. She was on this show last week, and she's back to tell us what happened after her appearance. So, Samantha, you were on this show, I think, exactly a week ago.
I was.
And afterwards, you returned to Telford.
Yes, I did. I was on your show last Monday, same time practically. Mm-hmm. I came off, there was a fantastic response from the public. I was really, really, my heart was warmed by the support and you know, outreach that I received from those that either didn't know what had been going on in Telford for decades. You know, up to 1,000 girls had been reported to have been abused as by grooming gangs since the 1980s, or those that had no idea that it could potentially still be going on, and the scale of police, council and social services failings. Mm. I went back home, I went back to Telford, and the next day around lunchtime, two police officers banged on my door demanding that I speak to them about my interview.
Really?
Of course they did.
So the police, who have done nothing for the entire third millennium to date, suddenly were roused to activity by you going on television.
Yeah, they told me that they had gone round to all of the addresses they had on file for me. They had gone to my previous home addresses, the different accommodations that I'd stayed at, looking for me. And eventually they located me, you know, they hunted me down, they tracked me, banged on my door, you know, not too different to when they're knocking on the door of a perpetrator, of a potential criminal. I was on FaceTime to my friend at the time, who said to me afterwards, "I genuinely thought you were going to get arrested from the way that they were talking to you." They told me that, quote unquote, when you go on GB News and talk about grooming gangs in Telford, it's our duty to follow up with you.
That's not actually true, is it?
No.
So the police are, among other things, lying to you.
Mm. It's funny, I said to them at the time, it was funny that they did absolutely nothing to bring my accusers to justice, but when I went on national TV, and talked about the industrial scale of their failings and their inaction in bringing to justice the perpetrators of vile rape, grooming, sexual assault and child sex crimes in Telford, that they are suddenly spurred into action to come and knock on my door and intimidate me into silence.
It's pretty pathetic, these big butch coppers being so insecure that you going on TV and criticising them can drive them into action that they otherwise haven't taken for decades. Do you know who actually ordered up this, I guess raid is the word for it?
I have absolutely no idea. I know that it was two police officers from the CSE team that knocked on my door. They said they had been working for the force for a year and 6 months respectively, and they were quote unquote trying to make a difference. I don't know what difference they were making by going after a victim rather than the perpetrators, those that have been systematically raping.
Well, you better shut up and stop talking about our failures as a police department, right?
Abusing, grooming and passing girls round decades.
The awful thing about this is,
I'll be right back, guys. Gonna let this play.
That you know, every situation is different, and yet they're all the same. If you talk to the girls in Rotherham about how the police dismissed them because they regarded them as quote white slags, and then if you look at Oldham, where police indifference was so great that these guys were actually picking up the girls in the lobby of the police station. And then if you look at your situation in Telford, it all seems to be pretty much the same. Now they seem to resent anybody actually talking about police failings.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I absolutely believe that there is a cover-up culture in amongst council officers, police, social services, those in charge, frankly, and a a disdain towards the victims who seek to speak up against the abuse they about abuse they suffered, and the lack of proactivity from those that were supposed to support and protect them. The chief of West Mercia Police, Chief Superintendent Tom Harding, said in 2018 that he didn't believe that Telford had a discernible problem with CSE, and that, quote unquote, they had the resources to deal with it. Well, quite clearly, they don't. If they're still knocking on the doors of victims and trying to intimidate them into silence because they've been shamed on national television for their systemic failings, and these are failings. It isn't, you know, a lack of understanding or a lack of awareness. No, police, social services, and local councils in areas like Telford were aware of the problem. They saw girls coming out of pregnancy and abortion clinics. They saw girls being picked up by older, predominantly Pakistani men in taxis and in kebabs and takeaway shops, and they did absolutely nothing to stop it. And like you said, in many cases they branded the girls troublemakers, white slags. They made us feel as though we were responsible for the abuse that was suffered. I said it before, I was a victim of grooming for nearly 10 years. It wasn't by a grooming gang, but I remember when I spoke up about the abuse that I suffered, as in 98.4% of 98.6% of cases, no further action was taken. They said that they had, quote unquote, a stern conversation with one of my abusers. Nothing more, nothing less. But
well, your abuse started at the age of 5 or 6.
Ooh, a stern conversation. How about that? Not bad.
So it's good to know that if someone starts abusing, sexually abusing, a 5 or 6 year old girl, that in Telford the police take that sufficiently strongly to have a stern word with the abuser of the 5 or 6 year old girl. One thing is clear. You mentioned the kebab shops, the minicab business. Again, it's all the same. There's minicabs in Telford, minicabs in Rotherham. And the police know about it. What do you think actually is going on? Do you think these guys in the gangs, there's generally, you know, there's 2 degrees of separation, I think 1 degree of separation between one of the Rotherham guys and a member of the House of Lords, Lord Armoured, who I think Tony Blair put in the House of Lords. You know, what's actually, are these people too powerful to touch?
I think that it's far easier for those in charge to blame the victims of crimes rather than to address the systemic culture of abuse, of ignorance, and of grooming in areas like Telford, Rotherham, and Rochdale. It's far easier to say, oh, well, these girls are problematic. These girls, they come from a difficult background. Oh, they asked for it. They wanted it. They were offering themselves up. Mm. It's far easier to blame the children who aren't able to protect or defend themselves than
in an era of feminism and shitlibism and global homo, this is what you're getting when migrants show up and do the dirty works, right? Do the raping, then it's immediately defending them and blaming the victim
to actually go after the perpetrators. And that's why so few grooming gangs and so few rapists and abusers are prosecuted and convicted against the thousands of victims up and down the country who have been picked up off the streets, systematically groomed, raped, abused, and then tossed aside by those that are meant to protect them.
But what's terrible about this is the brazenness of it. You're a very articulate lady, and in a sense I think they depend on people not being sufficiently articulate or well connected enough to get their stories out to the world. So you do, and we're talking now about, it's getting on for a decade since Rotherham broke. So we've had, oh yes, okay, we weren't as good as we should have been, but we've learned our lessons, and we've got a baroness to investigate for 3 or 4 years and release a report. And they're not, and suddenly, we're not paying lip service to any of that anymore. This girl went on TV, and we're going to go round to her house, bang on her door, and demand to know what the hell she thought she was doing by talking about West Mercia Police on television.
I think it's frankly astounding that the police don't have better things to do with their time, like actually going after the perpetrators of these horrific child sex crimes. Telford, and I said it when I was on the show last week, but Telford is the child sex crime capital of the UK. Yeah. The rate of child sex crimes in Telford is 18.4 per 10,000.
Right.
Versus a national rate of 7.9. That's almost double. Mm. And yet the police find it sufficiently important to go banging on the door of a victim, like you said, trying to shame me into silence. I walked away from that interrogation feeling as though I had somehow done something wrong. You know, had I spoken out of turn? Had I gone too far? No, I was simply speaking the truth. Not my truth, not a truth, the truth.
Mm.
I was speaking about what has happened for decades in Telford and the ignorance and inaction of those that are supposed to protect and safeguard little girls. And they saw that as a threat, in my opinion, to their very tightly controlled operation. They, as the chief superintendent of West Mercy Police said, he didn't think there was a sufficient problem and it was all under control in Telford. They seem to live in this fantasy land where they can control the narrative over the victims and those that have actually experienced these horrific crimes.
Well,
they're not
going to control the narrative. Did you know these officers who were banging on your door?
No, I had no idea.
And you have no idea who ordered this?
Absolutely no idea. I know that they said that they were acting on information that I had gone on GB News and spoken about Telford and the child sex crimes and the grooming gangs and the CSE that had occurred and continues to occur in areas like Telford up and down the country. And
well, let that be a warning to you boys and girls in Shropshire. West Mercia Police won't let you go on television and mention West Mercia Police. It's all perfect.
All right. Anyway, he goes on a little bit there. But absolutely sickening. I mean, what can you say about it, really? It's just like, I mean, society that stops and can't defend the kids, it's already over, right? I mean, it's already lost. Doesn't mean that we are over. Doesn't mean our people is over. Doesn't mean that everything is over. But it means that the particular, like, constellation of these countries with these people in them and stuff that we're seeing right now, where these supposed leaders and all this shit, it's like that's over. That system is already fallen, as far as I'm concerned. And it's quite intentional. It's not an accident, of course, but it's just a matter of time before, like, the full consequences of what's being done to us is kind of picking up speed, right? Or you know, one end will fall apart, but then this other system has to be like rising up in its place. Well, they will do it, but we will have to do it as well, right? At the same time. And it reminded me of the story out of Sweden. It's the same thing there, really, right? Not being able to protect the children, right? And this story is just, I mean, more of this, like, just absolutely insane stuff when it comes to, like, importing these hostile people, right? Hostile immigrants into our countries who are brutal. Animals don't do this. This is monsters, right? This is like the most depraved stuff you can imagine, right? So a 9-year-old Swedish girl, some outlets reported she was 10, whatever, in Skellefteå, Sweden, where it was brutally attacked by what they have described as a 13-year-old migrant from Ethiopia. And some of they claimed that, well, he was exceptionally large for his age. You've seen these pictures, right? Of, like, clearly it's like they're like 30 years old or something, and they're trying to pass them as, like, oh, there's children fleeing war in Syria or whatever, right? Then they're like 30 years old, 25 years old. Some of them are even, like, probably 40, like, they're turning gray. Like, there's but even the doctors in Sweden, they were, like, looking at their teeth and their knees and stuff to determine their age. These doctors who, like, exposed all this and, like, clearly, they're old men, and you try to pull them off as their kids, right? That's how desperate they are in replacing us and harming us in the process. And then those doctors that do that gets, like, charged for hate crime and reported by the government and the system and stuff, and the cops go after them. It's absolutely crazy. But anyway, back to the story here. And you can see the pictures here of this 9-year-old girl brutally attacked. I mean, he tried to slaughter this girl, was the language used in the articles when this came out, right? She was injured so badly that she has to be put under for several days. I think she's still, I'm not sure if she is awake right now. She has not been able to be heard as the translation went, meaning they haven't been able to interview her, ask her about it. She's still, I think, under anesthesia due to her severe injury. So she's lucky to be alive at all, right? And so now the Swedish authorities here are coming back on this story by not arresting this guy because he's, well, he's a minor. So this murderous savage is going to be let off the hook for his consequences, essentially. I mean, he should be tried as an adult for this kind of crime, right? And this is the type of people that our leaders, so-called leaders in the West, are letting in at the expense of our sons, of our daughters, of our people, of our elderly, of everybody, right? Of everybody. Let's look at this picture. Imagine being the parents to this here. And of course, he came out and initially was very, you know, hush-hush about this, but then he eventually was like, yep, he's from Ethiopia. He's an African, and he's brutally beaten this girl. And then it comes out even more, of course, right? He raped her as well. Of course he raped her, right? This is what they, this is what these monsters do to our children at our expense, on our children's expense, our future. This young girl is lucky to even be alive at this point. But when she wakes up, if she wakes up, if she's okay physically, what kind of mental existence is this going to be for her? The teenage boy who's suspected of attempted murder of a 9-year-old girl in Skellefteå is now also suspected of aggravated rape of a child, Svenska Dagbladet reports. He has also been, he's also notified of the suspicion, he was notified of the suspicion last Saturday. The only thing I can say there is, the translation a bit wonky here, there is that there is enough support during the investigation now that this heading, I'm not sure if that's the right term, but this additional charge will be added on, one of the investigative leaders say, right? It's an African boy who received a permanent residency permit in Sweden a week before this act. Been in the country for 1 week, and he rapes a 9-year-old and basically almost murders her, almost kills her. And it's like every time with these people. They're all going to be deported one day. They're all going to have to go. They're all going to be fucking sent back one day. That's just what's going to happen here, okay? Like it or not, eventually there will be people standing up and rising up. I know it looks grim. I know it looks like it's over. I see this all the time. It's over. That's it. You know, kind of thing. It's not over until there's no one left of us. Until that point, it's not over. It'll never be over. It will never be over. This will continue for as long as our people exists. And these struggles and just the pleasure of these criminals and these murderers of just sending them back. Don't even let these people serve. I mean, look, capital punishment in a case like that, no problem. Just execute these people. Just do the trial, do the whole thing, determine that he was guilty, and then just get rid of him. Just what's the purpose of these monsters walking among us in our society at the expense of our sons, of our daughters, right? What's the point? What is the point to have them in our countries? What do they add beyond misery and mayhem and violence and chaos? Just send these criminals home. I mean, deportation is like the minimum thing you can do, right? And so he's probably like 25 years old, this creep, right? And every time it's the same thing with the PP with these people. It's always the dick and the penis and I'll fuck you and I'll fuck your family and I'll screw them all and stuff. We played a clip, I think it was last Friday, right? Did we not? Of a, it was the leader of the Alternative for Sweden, Gustav Kasselstrand, that had encountered one of these people who went on and on about how he's going to, excuse bad language here, folks, but this is the language they're using. I'm going to fuck all of you and your family and all your Swedes are going to be fucked and whatever, right? That's just the language, right? Well, here's another one. Now going after a Swedish Democrats election campaigner, one who works with the Sweden Democrats, the party. All Muslim. This is the trans. Let me do a Google Translate here, right? But it's here. It says in Swedish, all Muslims will fuck you, and it's not fuck like fuck you. Oh, fuck you over. Oh, fuck you. It's like the literal word of like sexual intercourse. It doesn't. It's not. Doesn't translate the same, right? This is actually like, it's always with the PP and pushing that into somebody, or like vengeance, rape, and like these things, right? I'll F your mother, blah, 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 right? Here's the, let's see how the translation is here. As the election workers are attacked by immigrants, all Muslims should fuck you. That's a little somewhat translation-wise, right? Sweden Democrats' election campaign in Linköping took an unpleasant turn the other day when an extremely aggressive migrant confronted, among others, SD municipal council candidate Elin Johansson. And of course, she's a cute, young Swedish girl, right? Here's her in the clip right there. She talked about this on, I think this is Sweden Democrats' YouTube channel down below there, but it's not translated, so we don't have to watch that. But let's just watch the interaction here, and just you can just get a feel for the pitch of the of these creeps, right?
That is not annat hemland, okay? They are äckliga rasist bara. They inte bara beroende.
And it's we like, you're racists, therefore we can. I'm going to F you, right? You're racist. Let me see if it full screen works here.
That is not annat hemland, okay? They are äckliga rasist bara. They inte bara beroende. They are a hate party.
You're a disgusting, cowardly racist, this rapist says. Yeah, he's going to have sexual intercourse with all the Swedes that he doesn't like, whose opinion he doesn't have. They're so warm and so nice. Every time, they're so nice and they're so warm. And they go, oh, thank you for letting us into your country. I know it's got to be, you know, tough for you. I see how it changes. But I just want to know, I'm really thankful for that you're helping us. Because we're fleeing war and so what? No, it's straight to like me putting dick in your butt or your, I'm going to screw your family or some shit like that. It's like it's literally like my dick argument every fucking time.
Your heart is ill.
Hey, don't.
Where are you from?
Where your health? Your heart is ill.
He says, I hate you. Yeah, so he can hate. That's not a hate crime. This is totally fine. Oh, you've been 6 years in the country? He says, okay, well, oh, well, we'll throw up our arms and, oh, God bless you. Abby said, the brain surgeons have arrived, folks. They're here to take care of us, right? And you should not be able to have any say in what should happen with your country. No, it's the same thing every time. Do you think people are going to get? Do you think they're going to get more tolerant of this? Do you think they're going to get more acceptance around this? Do you think they're going to get happier by the conditions? I'm talking about the Swedish people now, and this is true, of course, in virtually any Western European country that you're looking at. You think it's going to get better? You think it's going to get more? No, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until either we pop and just one day it's like collectively we've had enough. Or we will cower away. I don't think that's an option. I don't think that I genuinely do not think that that's the way we're going to go. But that's the other option, right? That's the only option. And this is what the elite wants. They want conflict. They want us to focus on this. They want us to have these roadblocks, these obstacles. They're just standing in the way of doing what we need to do. I mean, imagine what we could do as a united, not with these people, they can go home, right? But like as we Swedish people together, right? Working on throwing off the shackles of these pedophile global homos that have done this to our countries. No, that's not what's happening. Because of these people in our countries, which they up the top imported and brought in, and the activism, right, from the David Schwartz to the Barbara Spectors, right, we've talked about all of them, right? Because of what they've done, this is what we're relegated to, right? This is our daily experiences now. This is what it's all about. This is an increasing... what's the word I'm looking for? Just an increasing, like, I mean, it's beyond nuisance, really. But I'm saying, like, for people that actually are not, like, violently attacked or raped or stuff, then it's like these conditions between the Swedish people and these foreigners, these hostile migrants in our countries, is just getting more and more difficult, and it's grinding on. It just gets worse and worse, and that's what we have to spend our time on and organizing against. I mean, it's brilliant if you look at it from the point of view of the elites, right? Our problem is, of course, we didn't push back strongly enough initially, right? There was back in the 90s when the gates really started opening in Sweden. There was actually a healthy pushback, and there's still very healthy pushback, right? But it's not enough. But the point is, do you think this is going to help them? Do you think this is going to make things better, right? I think this is going to increase the relationship. And let's work with it. It's just if we just integrate them and let them into our societies, everything is going to be great. No. So that's over. That ship has sailed. Now it's just a matter of, and I'm not saying I want this. I'm not saying this is good. I preferably, we could do this without having this inevitable clash that's coming down the pipe here, right? But increasingly, it looks like that is not going to be an option. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's going to be a matter of who has leadership and political will to do something about this obvious problem, which makes our countries unlivable, and especially for our children, right? So let me play another clip here, in contrast. Here's more, right? Here's more of the replacement. Here's Malmö, Sweden, right? The third largest city, the third city.
Hello.
Just a few days ago here. But there's no population replacement. Walla snackbar. These are our natural allies. Ooh. We're gonna work together with these people. And we don't listen to that fucking racket, that shit. But you get the point, right? So that's how it looks in Malmö right now. I've shown you pictures before of suburbs around the Stockholm area, and this is a lot what you're getting now, right? This is not going to work. It's not going to be that great. It's not going to turn out good for anybody involved here. Okay. All right. So next clip here is about how liberal, this is a clip out of Sweden as well, how liberal, this is kind of the title of our show here today and the theme of this whole thing, that is like, the liberal feminist, white Swedish liberal feminists and like social, you know, all that shit, is bending over backwards in the most extreme ways to serve their ethnomasochism, right? In this case, it's about basically saying that foreign and migrant population and their cultures are superior and in fact better to ours. That's why they have to go to our countries. But, you know, whatever. And the whole thing is about polygamy and being married with multiple partners and stuff like that. And look at this Swedish lefty liberal woman bending over backwards. And even in the beginning, they're like, they're snuggling the migrant like it's a big cuddly, you know, teddy bear. And anyway, look at the interaction here. I think there's part subtitles of this too. It might be, majority is in English, I think.
Blig.
Her man here.
Yeah,
her husband.
He yeah. have two women.
Two women. Then two wives. He's married to two women.
Yes.
Two women.
Yes.
Your wife and your other wife is?
She live here.
Also here?
Yes, and here.
Okay.
Yes.
And is it a problem for in Sweden to have two wives?
Det är en problem för Sweden och ända till 2010.
Ja, mig 10 år. Syria. 2, 3, 4. No problem. Sweden, problem one.
All right, we'll go back then.
So what are you going to do?
Jag skulle dacka den. Jag
skulle. Jag var en nobody.
Yeah, see, I will marry a third, he says. In other words, I will defy you. I will defy your petty, pathetic rules and laws. Yeah, I will marry a third. So they're all laughing. This is so funny. Look at him. He's not going to comply, right? He's going to, in fact, do more of what we frown on in our country, in our religion, in our culture, in our heritage. No, I will marry, and it gets better, right? He's not only going to marry just anybody. No, let's find a nice white Swedish woman.
Okay. No, the nice Swedish from Sweden, yeah.
Swedish woman.
Okay. I can see some enrichment of Swedish culture here.
this is like they're these boomers are literally like they are a walking meme and NPC. He's like unironically says, I feel that Swedish culture is being enriched this way. This dumb boomer. Look at this guy.
Okay. I can see some enrichment of Swedish culture here.
Like, does he even deserve to like be living at this point? Like, what's your purpose, man? What do you... All right, anyway, let's continue.
What I've learned during my years working with people from different countries...
Check out this. And she's the one who's like snuggling this other woman here, like the second wife. I guess she wants to be the third or something, right?
Is yeah. That you have to be very respectful over for different cultures.
Right, but they don't have to be respectful of ours. See, this only works in one way, because their culture is actually superior to ours. And so we have to respect every little thing that they're doing and nuance and stuff. They can just shit all over you and ours and smear this shit on our walls. And we should just put backing up and tolerance. And isn't this great? We're getting along so well. And it's just wonderful to have them. In fact, they're enriching us and they're adding so much, right? Continue. It's
because in every culture, there is something that is better than in your culture.
Yeah, better in your culture. It's better. There's always something in there. And of course, what's better than actually having women than, according to, I mean, I bet you, like 100%, this woman is a liberal, like feminist-ish woman. I don't think we're talking about a traditional woman in regards here, right? But so it's better to have, in her view, because it's the migrant culture, right? It's a superior culture. So it's better to actually submit to polygamy and having multiple wives in a relationship, because that's what the migrants are doing. It's like you could not ethno-masochistically, if that's a word, you cannot find a more prime example than this woman right here.
There is something that is better than in your culture. In the tradition where they come from, the wife has to do a lot. She needs to serve the man. And it's very hard if you have a few kids, you need to wash, you need to cook, you need to go shopping, everything. Yeah. So actually there are women that like tell their husbands to get a second wife.
And now she's trying to talk for the migrant, right? Because this is basically discounted. This woman here, who's the first wife, is putting, it's like discounting that. It's like, no, the wife doesn't have a say in that. It's all the man doing that, right? Listen, but she's like projecting upon her. No, you see, she really needs, it's actually smarter. She really needs the help, you see, because it's just this way. We're doing away with this kind of the slavery of the patriarchal system. We have multiple partners are helping each other. It's actually better. This is actually what's going on in this dumb woman's head.
Mm-hmm. And where they are like involved to find a good second wife. Because I can feel like that. I am married to one man.
Look, check this out.
And yeah, and I have three children. Sometimes we are five.
So there are days when you are thinking he should be taking a second wife?
Yeah, absolutely. Or we could have a third adult.
Third adult. You want to, now the man, is that in there? Is that what you're mentioning, right? No, then she switches from just saying woman, right? Over to no, just another adult. Can we have maybe I should have another man? So see, it's like she's flipping this. Maybe I, as the woman, should have multiple men around me that's just doing shit for me, in fact, and that would be better. So we'll take the superior culture of the migrant, but then we'll just do state feminism inversion of that, Swedish state feminism inversion of that, and then now I can have multiple partners that are, pleasing everything that I need to have done and helping me with all the shit I have. It's unbelievable. She couldn't even say wife. She said, no, let's bring in a third adult in our exciting marriage.
Sometimes we are five.
So there are days when you are thinking he should be taking a second wife?
Yeah, absolutely. Or we could have a second.
She should just marry this man and then they can go back home to where he comes from. Okay, deal. Good. Go.
Third adult in the family, just to, you know.
Since it's a superior culture, well, you can just be surrounded by it, then, lady, and bathe in it.
Easing the burden.
Yeah, just ease the burden. That's right. Look at that. Lost. Gone. Lost. Over.
And you were the first wife?
أنتي أول واحدة.
And do you give your opinion about the second wife, like okay or no, I don't like her?
So the translator says, should he ask for your permission regarding this partner or the second or third wife? With or without, he'll do as he pleases, is the translation. He'll do whatever the hell he wants, right? But he's trying to, he knows that this is kind of a little frowned upon, right, in Swedish culture. So then it's, oh, no, of course it's with her permission. No, 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 let her answer, right? She's her own woman here. She can answer for herself. And then she comes back. No, of course I have no choice. She seems so happy to have this guy. This winner right here.
She cannot say anything.
It's his choice.
It's his choice. Look at that in the beginning there. Look at that. That's how it begins, the whole thing. She's just like smothering this Arab woman here.
Big.
Her man here.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, get off of me. What are you doing? Look at this. Look at the reaction of the burqa wearer here.
Blig.
Blig, which means, are you shy? Are you shy? You don't want to hug me and shy? Are you too shy to give me a big hug and kiss me and have lesbian sex with me?
Blig.
Her man here.
Yeah,
her husband.
He's just like, what the hell is, where am I? How did this happen? I was looking at... the boys, my boys, they love Emil Lundberg, Emil Grisik, two wonderful Swedish, well, they're books initially, Astrid Lindgren, famous children's author, but they made them into movies too that we watch, right? And these wonderful, like, you know, like 100% obviously, like all Swedish, they're made in, I think the first one maybe mid or late 70s, and the second I think was going into the 80s, but anyway, I mean, it's kind of a little, you know, like Dennis the Menace. It's like this kind of rowdy little, you know, blonde boy, and he gets into trouble and does a bunch of pranks and, you know, things like this. But it's a very lovely, nice, they're out on the countryside, right? They do a lot of things. All Swedish in there. It's wonderful to watch. But like now you're starting to see that they're like, they have this, the kind of, what would you call, like the famous, like kind of red, not a barn, but the red cottage, you know, house, like out on the countryside in Sweden, like... That's where this is beginning to sneak its way into now, right? It's like, I mean, it's been like that for a while, obviously, right? But it's like, and of course, there are regions, like if you go out on a boat to the West Coast, last time I was out with that, it was like all Swedes. It was like there's certain environments where you don't find the diversity and the so-called enrichment, to use this dumb idiot's term here on the screen, the guy there. So there is still that, but it's still like it's creeping in everywhere right now. But this is the end result of it. You'll have people like this that continuously will make excuses. They will never look at the crime. They will never look at the awful, I mean, monstrous things that are happening to our people in the name of just having them in our countries. I mean, they don't add anything, right? That's why they have to project like cultural values upon it, right? And it's better and more, you know, it's superior than Swedish culture. That's what it is, right? Holy shit. Yeah, with women like this, I mean, what are you gonna do? All right, let's see what else we should cover here. Okay, up to here with this shit. Okay. Well, yeah, it gets better. More rape. We don't have to cover that right now. Let me see here, guys. Let's see what we should finish up with here. Let's do this. We're on this trail here, right? Of like, you know, diversity and stuff like that. Let's play a couple of clips here at the end. Rando attacks, right? Oh, we had migrants too, by the way. Check this one out. We could play this one. Let's see if I added that in. It's in, excuse me, Morocco, Spain, right? The border there. Because they're so eager to get into our countries and be suppressed and oppressed and, you know, experience white supremacy and all these kinds of things, right? So they're fighting with border guards in, I think it's the same, I think it's Quetta. I could be wrong, but it's the Morocco... region, and they're trying to get into the European side, which is this one, I think, is it a Spanish enclave, or I don't think it's an island. Anyway, look at this footage. They're fighting with border guards and throwing stones at them. Let us in or we'll kill you. It's one of those scenarios here. If this is how they behave, these people, like, you know, let us in, we'll kill you. That's the very reason you should not let them in, obviously, right? If this is what they're doing at the borders, like, this is like an invading, this is an army. This is a foreign, hostile army that's coming in, right? And even the very term, like, refugee, right? Fugee, I forget what the root was, like a Latin root of those who, like, mercenaries in foreign countries, and they're doing the bidding of other leaders. I think that was kind of like the root of it. So refugee was those who like returning again, right, to coming back and doing the acts of mercenary or turning against the leader. I think that was the root of the actual term. So it's actually quite applicable of what it is, right? Refugees is actually like a warring foreign hostile mercenary faction that's up to no good, by the way. JP says, Henrik, all those 2016 conservative boomer memes about Muslims, be it Pakis, Middle Easterners, or Turks, were not wrong. I'm trying to remember if I remember all of those. I'll give the conservative boomers that much. Yeah, maybe they were. I can't actually recall all of those. Send me a few if you have them. Email, redeyes@protonmail.com. It'll be fun to see those. Maybe we can use them. If it's true, it's true. A little random stuff here for you at the end. They are a little anti-white segment here. Here's a guy who's attacking, a black man is attacking a white guy over a printer that didn't work as it was supposed to, I believe.
It's a vicious, out-of-nowhere attack of the manager at the UPS store.
What are you saying? This well-composed black man couldn't keep his cool?
And it gets worse. During the unprovoked pummeling of the manager, the raging customer pulls a gun, and the beating continues.
Here, he hit me with a gun a couple of times.
Hours after the afternoon crime, the victim spoke to 7 News.
I was thinking I was going to get shot.
Okay.
He tries to calm down the angry assailant, who's incensed by a disagreement over a shipped package. Then he says he'll kill.
I thought it was a printer. Okay, it was just a shipped package. Random shit like that, right?
Definitely, I was thinking I was going to die there.
Here's how it began.
Put your life on the line for UPS, man. Let's go.
The man in the orange seems like a regular customer, browsing within the business. Then, the argument over his shipped package, an Amazon return he said was damaged. He wants back his money and spews threats to try and get it.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos, eh? All right, two-day prime shipping. Didn't comply. Well, this well-composed man just wanted his dues, right? Like, serve me.
I'm not crazy.
He started hitting me with a handgun a couple of times. Everybody started running in the store.
After the beating, he walks away, but later starts heading back in the victim's direction.
I'm not saying anything.
Luckily, the man who lost it at least had enough sense to leave, but not without vowing to return.
Never relax.
I'm coming back.
For a reason, folks.
I'm going to come back and finish what I started. And I don't think he was talking about the return.
The UPS store here in Miami Gardens had to close after the 2 p.m. hour violence. That man who you just saw, that victim, says he's not sure if he's ever going to return back to work. He also tells us that the man who was in here who delivered that beating was recording himself on social media. He's been here before 6 or 7 times at least, he says, and almost every time he's in here, we're told by that victim that man is recording himself on social media, and he's still in the street. If you know anything, call cops.
So we can't find him. That's right. Of course it's that, right? Ay. Well, you know, white supremacy, though. Am I right? White supremacy. Losh Og, get back over on entropystream.live/redeyestv says, I believe it was Joseph Sauk, a Swedish teacher in Arabic, who recently said that the development in Sweden was exactly the same he experienced when living in Lebanon. That's right. Before the Civil War broke out, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I do not doubt that. I think that's quite intentional. And again, if you got to create the chaos, right, to get like, you know, to make that omelet, right, as I say, you got to break a few eggs as we go towards globalism, and eventually they'll crack down hard and say, well, we got to offer you all the security. We have to monitor all of you. And also, white supremacy and racism is a problem. Here's another rando just attack. A black man punches a random white woman right in the face because, well, reasons.
Caught on surveillance video just released by the 7-Eleven store on North Milwaukee Avenue. The woman says she was entering the convenience store at about 10:20 Monday morning. A
man... Oh, you're going to skip on me. Let me pause. Let me see if we can go back here. Check this out here. It's randomly... She opens the door for him, of course.
The woman says she was entering the convenience store at about 10:20 Monday morning. A man she had never met swung at her on his way out.
Look at that. Just no, like, literally, like, no reason. I just don't like you.
In the convenience store at about 10:20 Monday morning, a man she had never met swung at her on his way out, giving her a broken nose. She had reconstructive surgery this morning.
The ferocity of this attack is just indicative of the criminals knowing that there's no deterrent out here. They can do what they want.
That's right.
Police are using the surveillance video to try and identify the woman.
But white supremacy is the greatest threat, and the media certainly has nothing to do with this. The heightened rhetoric, the anti-white environment, hate whitey, kill whitey, go after them, take them all, the artwork, the media, the Hollywood movies, everything, right? In fact, this is, look at this here. Not that I'm a huge, you know, fan of the, you know, back to blue or whatever, right? But treating the cops here. Look at the cultural differences here. Look at this. Raced right. There you go. Right? That's a sample of it for you right there. Really raced right. It's just holy fucking shit. All right. I guess we can end on this one, though. Sometimes it actually does go the other way. We always see these random attacks of, like, white people being beaten up because they're not accustomed to that. It's not, you know, it's funny. We hear that we're, like, violent and evil and mean and hateful and all that kind of stuff, right? And actually, I probably talk about this Friday. Glenn Johnson indicted in rape trafficking of runway girl, 14 years old. It's actually not the one I want to talk about. I want to show this one as the last one of a Chad Berserker white guy who, I guess, for whatever reason, just decided he'd have enough. And sometimes it swings the other way. Look at this. Oh, well, too bad, so sad. All right, guys. Holy shit. Ah, what a world. Violence, mayhem, chaos. If there wasn't enough problems and issues, then, like, this is what it resorts. It's truly absolutely crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up right there. Hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me just check real quick. We have... Is that the live page? Yes. Let me check a couple of these on Entropy here. Odyssey real quick here before we wrap up, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you for joining us over on Entropy Stream or Odyssey or Rumble or VK. Or, yes, we are on YouTube. What do we have here? Jim... let me go to the tip page. Yeah, see, now it's worked much better. Thank you. Kvitt Raven says, if that's correct, earlier, gratitude for your community building efforts on the Top of the Great shows. Thank you. Appreciate that. Violet says, please take these 5 Odyssey frequent flyer miles. I have accredited, so you can fly somewhere real close to your house. Thank you. Rowdy Dude with a 1488 donation. Well, thank you for that. Not sure what... I have no idea what that means. It's not going to be quick or easy, but we will win. There's really no option. Either we walk off the stage or we take care of this problem, and we actually manage to ensure that our children have somewhere to live, and they're not going to be targeted for being white and hated and raped and abused and all those things. It's Stephen McDowell says our existence is not negotiable, right? We're not going to argue with you over this. We're going to take what's ours for our people and keep it that way, just like every other ethnic group has done, right? Thank you, Rowdy Dude. I appreciate that. And one from Liam T. Jarrett says, supporting a great channel and good cause here. Follow the lead. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. It's very kind of you guys. I think we're caught up on Rumble, just in case. Yes, I believe we are. Anyway, thank you guys. Appreciate you. So we'll be back tomorrow. Anderson Pollen says, a world without child rape is non-negotiable. That's right. That is right. I mean, and this goes, as we said, right? There are cases like this. I show the headline real quick, but we don't have time now, right? There are headlines like this. This is like a rando, presumably. I mean, who knows? It could be tied into a bigger network or whatever, but there's rando things like this. But that over, like the big, like child raping networks and pedophile groups out there is not maybe defended in the media, but it's always like this looking down on people who are like, well, what are you so concerned about this for, you know, kind of thing. But no, this shit goes to the very top. They hate us and they want us dead. It's really that simple. That there's no other way of looking at this, right? Peyton Gendron, by the way, of course, right? He was accused, the accused Buffalo shooter, charged with a federal hate crime. But not Daryl Brooks Jr., though, who drove over white people intentionally after all this heightened anti-white rhetoric he had spouted off on social media and killed all those white people in Waukesha, Milwaukee. No, that's not a hate crime. See, it's only when white people do it. Only when white people do it. All right, guys. Anyway, yes, we have a couple of shows coming up as well. I'm booking one in with John Lash. Lana did a good show today, recorded. We're going to try to have that up over the weekend. It's a two-parter as well, so definitely check us out over at redicemembers.com if you want to get the second hour of our interview shows in addition to Weekend Warrior and other exclusive interviews and or videos, I should say, that we have up on the members' website, redicemembers.com. You can also sign up over at subscribestar.com/redice, and of course we're trying to counteract all the demonetization that we're experiencing, censorship, financial, you know, exclusion, right? We don't have access, as all these other people are claiming now, that they need to have to all these. What are they suppressed? What are you held back from, right? So anyway, Subscribestar is a good option. Subscribestar.com/redice. You can sign up for the different tiers we have over there. It's $10 a month if you do a, you know, month-to-month recurring. If you do sign up for a one-time subscription, and again, help support the show. If you like what we do, please support us. Please make sure that we can continue to grow in the face of adversity and all the people that hate what we do. And so we thank you for your support, guys. But if you do a one-time payment, we have from 3 months up to 2 years, and it gets cheaper per month as well. So it's almost 35% off if you get a two-year subscription. And there's a couple of different options and methods you can do that. As I said, we have the Subscribestar option, auto-recurring month-to-month. But Entropy, there you can do a one-time payment. We also have a Cash App for you guys if you want to use that. We have an e-check option if you're in the U.S., and we have cash, sorry, crypto, of course. And then we do have a cash money order check option if you want to use a good old mailing address as well. We'll keep that up on screen for you a little bit. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you. I also want to say thank you to the executive producers here today. We do have a couple of new ones with us as well. T. Lothrop Stoddard has been with us for a while. Check out some of that author's works. Pretty good stuff. V. Miller, Resin Revolt, former Loki's lad right there. Thank you, guys. And also Good Luck Lap, one of our latest editions. You can check out that at subscribestar.com/redice if you want to join the executive producer tier or the producer tier. We have a couple of different ones there. All right, guys, thank you so much again for joining us. I think that's it. I think we're caught up everywhere. So we'll be back tomorrow, boys and girls, with more then. We'll see you then. Take care, keep fighting, stay brave, and keep in mind our ancestors are always watching. Make sure to make them proud. Don't turn your back on them. Do what's right. Don't be stupid, of course. We're not encouraging anything stupid. We're just saying, be smart. Be brave. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for our people. And that begins with speaking out and being vocal. I'm not saying you should go out there and run crazy, but talk with people. Be reasonable about it. spread the word. Let the word, let them know what's going on. Talk with family, with relatives. Don't be afraid to open your mouth. A lot of people agree with us. They just need to hear some of the talking points, right? So anyway, thank you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you for sharing the clips and the videos as well. We do appreciate that. We'll be back with more soon. Until then, take care. We'll see you soon.
Do you love Red Ice? Want more? Get access to exclusive material by signing up for a Red Ice membership. You'll be able to watch Weekend Warrior, our flagship show, the second hour of interviews, and other special feature videos only for subscribers. Were you a member and we lost you along the way? Renew! We love and appreciate you guys and gals and cannot do this without you. Help us be a sane voice, a lighthouse in the sea of insanity. As times get tougher, as people are searching for answers, they're going to need content like Red Ice. A little of all your support can go a long way. Thank you.